What's up? It's 2020, and we are talking about the laws that went into effect January 1st. Some of them I'm bringing up because they're funny. Some are controversial, some are weird, some might apply to you, and there's a whole lot of changes in employment law all over the country. So yes, I will talk about California being weird. Yes, we're going to talk about the fact that cloning is being discussed in Arkansas. And yes, we are going to say shit and laugh. So, hang tight. Hey there, this is Get Legit Law and Shit, and I'm Emily D. Baker, badass lawyer for online business. I've been a licensed attorney for over 15 years, and I'm a former prosecutor. So yeah, I know some shit, and we're going to talk about the legal shit you need to know. But don't worry, this is not another boring business podcast. So let's get started. So, today's review comes from WWIB 2019 from Great Britain. And it says, "This is a breath of fresh air. This podcast is amazing. I cannot wait to listen to this every single week. Thanks. Legal cases are always so fascinating, and having Emily in my ears explaining and using humor to talk about these important issues is a true breath of fresh air. Go us nosy entrepreneurs, XO." Thank you so much for the review and the feedback. I want to keep it entertaining, want to talk about the law and the new laws in 2020. Some of them are pretty hilarious. Some of them might affect your life. So let's dive in, but I want to make a disclaimer-ish. First of all, my opinions are my own. And if you want to discuss any of these, just DM me on Instagram at the Emily D. Baker. We can have a chit chat. Some of this is just knee-jerk funniness. Some of this is just what is even happening. And a lot of these laws, I don't know the full history of why this is coming to a state assembly at this particular time. I don't know if this is one particular person pushing an agenda. I don't know if there were issues before. I did research on the laws that were changing. I don't have time to research all of the backstory of all of them. If I know the backstory, I'll tell you for sure. But all of them will be in the corresponding blog post. So there will be links to the news stories that I use to compile this list and a link to the laws where appropriate. And we will go from there. So let's start with Vermont, because Vermont is really all up in your trash and has now banned food waste. So Vermont has required now, starting January 1, 2020, that all food waste be composted. The three ways that Vermont has spelled out for you to handle your food waste as an individual is a compost bin. We actually have one at our house here in California because we use it for gardening because our soil is not very rich, but that's a whole separate issue. And my husband likes to do it. Compost bin, you can buy a green cone solar digester to break down the food scraps. It seems like a hardcore garbage disposal-y thing that runs on solar. Or you can feed scraps to pigs. That is completely okay in Vermont. They are also putting a lot of requirements on the waste removal services and how they're allowed to deal with it, and then how restaurants, supermarkets, and cafeterias have to comply. So school cafeterias, all the food waste is going to have to be separated. Like, I just can't imagine my kindergartner being like, oh yeah, the food goes here and the cartons go there. Oh, I imagine this is going to cause some schools some stress. But, you know, I think food waste is a big problem, right? And they don't want it going into landfills when it can be composted and broken down. And the state hopes to reach a 60% recycling rate through the mandatory composting. So go Vermont. Arkansas has banned state funding human cloning. I don't know if this is as much about human cloning as it is about kind of right to life arguments and when life begins, because some of the language they use in this law is destructive embryo research for human cloning. And I think a lot of this probably ties into what's been going on in Arkansas with regard to when life begins and dealing with some of their abortion laws. So I think that's where this law is coming to. I mean, is human cloning that big of a problem? in Arkansas. But I've been watching the Clone Wars with my kids. So maybe my view on this particular law is a little skewed by how much Star Wars I've been watching lately. I don't see Arkansas like rolling out masses of human clones. And I imagine that most of the human cloning that is going on is attempting to clone particular organs, you know, clone hearts, kidneys, livers, pancreases, those kinds of, you know, the shit that needs to get replaced on occasion. And not having human donors could actually be a really big deal. A friend from high school needed a double lung transplant due to cystic fibrosis when I was a freshman, going into my freshman year in college, and needed human donors. And I just imagine if you could just clone healthy lungs, no human donor, lungs that are available and compatible with your body. I think that would be kind of an incredible breakthrough in science, you know, to be able to clone human hearts for people who need hearts, for kids who don't need to wait on, you know, the UNOS list. I just see a lot of good applications for it, but this only regards state-funded human cloning. And I think this ties into a much larger argument of when life begins and whether the embryo research is destructive or not. So those are my thoughts on Arkansas and human cloning. The state of Washington has finally stopped allowing gift cards to expire. This is the law in quite a lot of states where gift cards cannot legally expire. But with the rate that things go out of business and, well, inflation's actually been pretty low, but with the rate stores are going out of business, I don't know. Use your gift cards, people. But in Washington, it can't expire unless it's part of a rewards or loyalty program. That shit can still expire. Illinois has a ton of new laws, and we'll get into some of the employment laws, but they are requiring diaper changing stations in most restrooms. So if there are public restrooms, there's going to be a requirement of one diaper changing station. I didn't realize this was a problem, but what I like under the law is that the station needs to be in both the men's and women's restroom or just in the unisex restroom, which is really helpful because it was something that was frustrating to my husband if he would be out with my boys, our boys, by himself when they were still in diapers. Most of the time in the men's restroom, there weren't places to change the kids. And he didn't feel comfortable, obviously, going into the women's restroom to change diapers. So having unisex restrooms with the diaper changing stand, super, super helpful. So, you know, all right, Illinois, I see you. Makes it a little easier for dads. Nevada has some other law changes too, especially with regard to the fact that recreational marijuana is legal. And a lot of the new laws we'll talk about in a bit in Colorado and what have you touch on the fact that recreational marijuana is legal and dealing with it. But Nevada now states that patients can't be denied insurance coverage for pre-existing conditions, which I think is super helpful if you want to switch insurance. Nevada also does not allow employers to legally deny you employment if you tested positive for marijuana on a drug test because, well, recreational marijuana is legal. So you can't have negative employment consequences for testing positive as part of a drug test. Now, if you come to work high, it's going to be a different situation. But if you use marijuana and it shows up on a drug test, you can't be denied employment. There are conditions to that because there are certain types of employment where marijuana use is a little more challenging. But for most jobs, you know, if you're in law enforcement or something, we'll have to have that conversation. But for the broad general population, it's not a problem. So Georgia is changing some of their child abuse registry requirements, stuff that when I look at, I'm like, oh, you don't do that? But they are establishing a state registry for the government, not public view. And it's interesting to me that they are trying to find a way to track reports and to keep a better handle on it. I know one of the problems in California is a lot of these things are tracked county by county. And so if children are moved around, it's really hard to keep track of the true history of a situation. So, you know, I am interested to see what prompted this, and we'll be looking into more of it. If you're in Georgia, it's HB 478 that's changing some of the child abuse registry. But it's interesting to me that they are really trying to make this statewide so they can track those situations better. And I don't see that as a bad thing. New Jersey is outlawing how do I frame this in the positive way? It is no longer allowed in New Jersey to ask about a potential employee's pay history or salary history. So you can't say, well, how much did you make at your last job? And how much have you been paid over your lifetime? That is no longer allowed. This is fairly common. There's over 15 states that have this in place where you can't ask about payment history. And the thought is that you don't want to change somebody's offer depending on what they were paid in the past. There are a lot of changes to employment law all over the country. And I will link one of the big HR articles on this. If you employ anyone anywhere, you need to be on top of HR changes, because some of these are things that I don't think I would necessarily think of. So knowing if you're going to be hiring, especially for those of us that work online, you might be working with people in all different states. So the employment law where that person lives applies. Of course, if you are just hiring a business as a contractor to do a job, it's different. But if you're bringing on an individual, you need to know the employment law where they live. I know, feels overwhelming. It's why you tune in here. So I can tell you shit and you can be like, I at least know where to look. Look in the blog post linked in the show notes to find some of the HR related laws, because there are a crap ton of them that change this year. And that is true just about every year. So Colorado changed a number of things, including raising minimum wage. A number of states did that this year. What was interesting to me is that they also updated the way mental health care is provided. And the goal of this new regulation seems to be making mental health care and physical health care the same and treating it the same. So you can now go for a mental health checkup the same way you would go for an annual physical and pay the same amount as you would pay for an annual physical. So for most insurances, it's just a copay. And I think insurance treating mental health the same as physical health will encourage people who need help to get the help that they need. And that's always a good thing. I don't know anyone who has not either been friends with somebody who has had their own mental health quirks or struggles, or has had them themselves. It is so prevalent. We live in a very dynamic time that our human brains haven't really evolved to handle yet. So mental health is a necessary part of wellness. And I like seeing that the goal is to treat mental health and physical health the same. And I hope more states do that. Colorado also has a really controversial gun law. I'm not going to really go into opinions on gun laws. It's just, I have found, here's what I used to enjoy in like law school and undergrad until things started to get like ugly and all cancel-y, was being able to have like really good discussions about, well, what if the law was this way? And what if the law was that way? And what about these situations? And what about those situations? And really exploring intellectually how things could be, how things should be, how things could be different, why somebody has this opinion, why somebody has that opinion, what experiences led to those opinions versus guns are bad or, you know, mental health is a problem. None of this stuff is a one sentence issue. Either way, in Colorado, the controversial red flag laws, which you may or may not have heard about, will allow police and family members to petition the state through the court system to order a temporary removal of firearms from a person who may present a danger to themselves or others. This is, you know, for the Second Amendment people, this is the government removing guns. From a former district attorney who was at the LA district attorney's house when we had a very kind of public domestic violence case end up in a victim being killed. Oh, no, I'm not talking about OJ, but that's one too. I can understand the desire to make it easier to get guns out of the house when you're going through domestic violence cases, when you're going through custody battles, when someone seems like they might be suicidal, when you are worried that somebody could be plotting a mass shooting. I understand this law. I also understand why people are pissed about it. I don't think all of us will ever agree on gun laws, but I think when there could be imminent harm to another person, it's okay to take the guns out of the house for a bit. I would be interested to see how this ends up being executed. It seems like a lot of extra work. Currently in California, with a lot of the domestic violence cases, guns are supposed to come out of the house, but that doesn't always happen because there's no one to go make it happen. There just aren't the resources. So I'd be very interested to see how Colorado handles the manpower side of this new law, because that I think will be very interesting to how other states can possibly implement something like that. Colorado is also now allowing establishments permits to allow marijuana use on their premises. So soon you might be able to just go get some tea and go get some weed and hang out with your friends. I don't know. I don't really see anything wrong with that either. You can drink at restaurants. Marijuana is recreationally legal there, so it's kind of the same as alcohol. So why not? Totally get it. As long as they're enforcing the under the influence driving laws, I don't have an issue with that. It was so funny. I went to Colorado for a meetup with business buddies. Hey, ladies. And when I got into my Uber, as she was driving me to the resort where I was staying because my friends were working a ClickFunnels event and I wanted to hang out with them. So we were masterminding a bit after the event. The Uber driver said, "Do you need to stop by a dispensary before you head to the hotel?" And I'm like, "No, I'm good, but thank you." She goes, "Yeah, most people come straight from the airport, go to a dispensary, and then go to their hotel." I'm like, "Oh, so the like marijuana tourism's a big thing?" She's like, "Oh, it's a big thing." And I was like, "Huh, I guess California has always been going that direction, so I hadn't really thought about it." I mean, you're not going to be able to take it on a plane, so I understand. It just caught me off guard and it surprised me. But I think this will also probably increase the marijuana tourism in Colorado as you start seeing, like, people used to go to Vegas for their bachelor party and they're going to be like, "You know, I like the hike. Let's just go to Colorado, smoke some weed, be outside. It's going to be great." I've talked about weed for way too long. I apologize. We know about California's AB5 independent contractor rules. We know that California is coming after data protection with the California Consumer Privacy Act of 2020, which was passed a number of years ago. Don't you worry. We're going to do a whole episode on California Consumer Privacy Act and how it is going to change, I believe, the federal laws. There are multiple states looking at acts like the California Consumer Privacy Act. Just to note, the state of Washington has a similar law that they are looking to pass, but it also includes jail time for CEOs whose companies violate the Data Privacy Act. I'm like, whoa, if the federal government starts imposing jail time for like Mark Zuckerberg, can you imagine? Do you guys remember when Martha Stewart went to jail? It would be like that, but more. Anyway, the California Consumer Privacy Act is going to be the way I believe that the national law will go. We are going to end up in a GDPR situation in the US where it's hard for companies that operate in multiple states to stay ahead of the laws that govern them with regard to data privacy and data regulation and what they do with personal identifying information, because it's different state by state. And that's exactly the situation GDPR looked to correct. It was like, hey, all these different EU countries have all these different rules regarding data. So we should just have one rule and then people can just be compliant and then we can enforce it better instead of being like, well, it's cool in France, but it's not cool in Italy. Like, whatever. So I believe that's the way the states are going to go, because right now you have to comply in every state you have contacts in or do business in. And for a lot of online businesses, the choice is just to comply with the most restrictive one. And as of January 1st, that's California. So if you run an online business and you are like, what in the heck are you talking about? And now you're starting to see all the emails, like when GDPR was going down, we're gonna get into it. AB5 was more urgent because the penalties are higher. Truth, that's how I make my decisions. Truth be told. California is also implementing a pretty controversial rent control. It doesn't affect most of you. I'm not going to get into it. But California also took a shot across the bow at the 2020 presidential elections and will not allow a candidate onto the 2020 ballot for presidential elections unless you've released your tax return. Gee, California, why ever would you be doing that? So it will be interesting to see what happens with the 2020 ballot and if Trump releases his tax returns or not. So, I mean, he might just be like, hey, California, I'm not going to win there anyway. Fuck you. I'm not releasing it and just not appear on the ballot in California. I'm fascinated. We'll see how this all plays out. Florida has gotten with the times and decided that texting while driving is a bad idea, and it's now illegal. I don't know if Florida is the absolute last state to do this, but this is the law in quite a significant number of states. So don't text while drive. Anyway, Siri can read your text to you now, and I'm sure most other operating systems can do the same, but Siri can read your text, and you can voice to text. So that's fine. Just voice to text. And in the federal, kind of in the federal realm of rules that apply to us all, Real ID, don't forget about Real ID. I don't know if your state's running commercials on TV, ours is. Real ID goes into effect in October. If you don't know what I'm talking about, there is a now federal standard for driver's licenses that will apply particularly when you travel. So each state is rolling out their Real IDs differently and requiring you to get them at different times. But if you want to fly with just your driver's license from your state as identification after October 1st, it has to be a Real ID. And they look different state by state, obviously, but they look different from the licenses that are not Real ID. If you don't get a Real ID, take your passport to the airport. And if you're traveling in the first week of October, know that people are going to fuck this up and it's going to be a mess, and give yourself more time. But in California, the DMV has really advised to wait until your license expires if you have a passport, and then update your license so that you can fly. So it's up to you, but know that that's coming later on in 2020. Get your Real ID, people. And finally, the direction that I think a lot of federal regulations are going, as I mentioned when we talked about the California Consumer Privacy Act, is that privacy, security, data security, and individual data privacy is going to be kind of the hot topic, I believe, of 2020. And I believe more states are going to be rolling out California consumer privacy type laws, as well as California independent contractor style laws. There's a number of states, and I talked about it a few episodes ago, but there's a number of states that are already considering switching to the more restrictive ABC test from the more lenient IRS test. So know that there are things coming. Change will continue to happen. Also, California's got a new Darwin law. I can't believe I forgot to mention this. It's in my notes and everything, and I still forgot. California's new Darwin law. Scooters, electric scooters, like those bird scooters that took over the world for a minute. The electric scooters can now go up to 35 miles on highways, and adults are not required to wear a helmet. So if you think that the motorized scooter is a reasonable alternative to drinking and driving, understand that you can still get a DUI on a motorized scooter. By the way, in law school, we studied a case with a person who got a DUI on a horse, and the judge started the opinion with "a horse is a horse, of course, of course." I need to go find that opinion and put it in the show notes if I can, because when you're in law school, there's very little about anything that's funny. Like, none of it's funny. It's all really boring and stressful. So when you have a judge that starts to try to write an entire opinion in iambic pentameter and starts making like TV jokes, it's the greatest gift ever. And I will never forget that you can get a DUI in a lot of states when you're on a horse. Though the argument is, a horse is a sentient being and it can find its way home without you actually driving it. So are you really driving, or is it like the horse is driving? Horseback DUIs aside, you can get a DUI on a motorized scooter. And drinking and riding a motorized scooter at 35 miles an hour without a helmet seems to be a bad idea. I'm not going to say that people haven't done it, I've seen people do it. But when they get going that fast, I like the motorized scooters. I use them frequently when I'm in San Diego. I really dig them, but 20 feels fast. I can't imagine how fast 35 would feel. And I don't think I'd feel comfortable doing that without a helmet, just to be honest, because I don't want to crack my skull on the sidewalk. All right, you guys. Thank you so much for being here. That is a very quick roundup of the laws that are now in effect across this great land. I hope that your 2020 is kicking off amazingly. I hope that you had a great New Year's Eve. And I look forward to talking to you more in season 2 of Get Legit Law and Shit, because there is so much to talk about. I'll see you next week. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. If you are starting your own business and you're just not sure what you need to do to keep it legit, make sure you get my Get Legit Business Guide in the show notes today. It will go through all of the foundational aspects you need for your business for free. And then if you're ready to take it to the next level, GetLegitShop.com has all of the legal templates I created to protect your business. So head on over there and check them out.